Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we learn the secrets to being in business and living the great life without all of the stress. Now, my name's Angela Council. I'm a stress and lifestyle mentor. And this week I am joined by an absolute goddess. Diane McCann came into my life quite a few years ago, and she has got such a strong message to share. She actually did her first workshop when she was 13 years old. And over the years, she's done so many different things. She's qualified in NLP, kinesiology, massage, chakra balancing, lifeline, EFT, you name it. Diane can basically do it. But I don't want you to think that this is all going to be about woo-woo. We're going to talk a lot about woo-woo. But Diane's also run companies. She's run businesses. She's run events. So she knows how to bring this spiritual realm of where she lives a lot of her life into the business world. And that's one of the things we're going to talk to Diane, because her big message is that you can be whoever you want to be. You can create a life and a business the way you want it. You don't need to be what everyone else wants you to be. And you do that by knowing truly who you are. Diane creates safe, non-threatening space for everybody. She doesn't just work with women. She works with men. She works with couples. She does so many things. So, hi, Diane. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
So,
thank you.
I just gave a brief overview of who you are, but can you tell, I mean, because you are so much more than what you do, can you share with our listeners why you do what you do? You started this from a very young age. Where did the burning desire to really work in this space of empowerment, of spirituality, and bring it into the real world, where did all that come from?
Well, I had a very unhappy childhood. I'm of the belief that, you know, 99.9% of the world has dysfunctional childhoods to some degree or other, you know, minor or major. And, excuse me, so by the age of five, when I started school, I noticed that kids were making fun of children who had dark skin, because it was about the time in the UK when kids from families from Jamaica and the West Indies and places, Pakistan, places like that, were coming into England. And it didn't make any sense to me, because, you know, I figured that if we were all cut, we'd all bleed the same colour. So from the age of five, I just basically believed that the world didn't make any sense. And then at the age of 11, we emigrated to Australia, and we'd been here about less than 6 months, and I was raped. And I knew nothing about sex or relationships or, you know, genitalia, nothing. And I didn't know what to do with that. And so the world doubled its belief in my mind that it made no sense. And the only thing that made sense to me was burying myself in books. And so I went off just after that incident to the library and got off at the wrong stop, because I hadn't been to the city before, and finished up in the Theosophical Bookshop in Adelaide. And that was the start of the change of my life. And from that day to today, and I'm coming up 70, I have never stopped learning. And my vision is world peace. I believe in every cell of my body that peace is possible. But the steps that I take to move toward that peace are to have enough little boxes in my brain that I can pull out whatever people need at any given moment to make them a teeny weeny bit more conscious, because consciousness is what's going to change the world.
You're so right. And one of the things which I didn't mention is that you're also responsible for having rebirthing introduced into South Australia prisons. Can you tell us what that was all about? Because obviously that's so far outside of the realm of what people would imagine would be happening in prisons. But yeah, and So talk to us about that. Tell us about how you made things change.
Well, I'm a very good manifester. And I was at an NLP workshop one day and we were sitting there sharing our goals. Excuse me. And the lady that I was with said to me, so what's your goal? And I said, my goal is to take rebirthing into the prison system here in South Australia. And she said, oh, well, I happen to know a guy who's into yoga and he's an inmate and I'm sure he'd be interested in talking to you. And so she set it up. First of all, I had a conversation with him and he said, I can easily get a group of guys together. Excuse me, I'm going to cough again, just a tick. I think I've got your problem. And so then I had to have a meeting with the education officer of the prison. And he and I just got on like a house on fire. And he agreed to let me in there every week. So I went in for about 3 months every Tuesday morning doing theory. And then for the next 6 months, we went in, 6 to 9 months, we went in, I took a group of people in every Tuesday morning and we actually rebirthed these guys. And I am very proud to say on my 40th birthday, they actually did a documentary on me and, oh, well, on rebirthing, not on me, but on what I was doing in the prison. And by then the education manager had moved on and the actual head for the prison had no idea when Channel 9 rang him up and said, oh, we're bringing the television cameras in on this particular day. And he said, what for? And he was so shocked at what the guys shared. And what made me proud is the fact that 30 years later, none of my guys have returned to prison.
Oh, and that's the difference. That's the difference that you're making in the world.
Yeah, well, you know, I figure if we change what goes on between our ears, which is where everything happens anyway, it's like, you know, I mean, I have lots of people in my life right now who've got various diseases of their physical body. So as Dr. Darren Wiseman would say, their bodies are speaking to them through the language of symptoms, and they have done everything. You know, they have fasted, they have been here, gone there, done this, done that, but they have not done the work on their minds. And, you know, we have to change how we emotionally relate to people if we are going to thrive in this world. And, yeah, it's kind of, for me, it's about how do we get that information out. I really don't care what people do. I personally believe that, you know, the Lifeline technique is the most amazing modality. And what I say to Darren is if there was anything better, I would be promoting it, you know. And it definitely wasn't my idea to promote it. But, you know, I personally have never had robust health. And I've always been fanatical. And people just laugh at me and think that I'm excessive because, you know, I've always fasted and I've always done colonics and, you know, I was a vegetarian from the age of 17 and I've done every macrobiotic, fruitarian, you know, the only thing I haven't done is breatharian. And that's only for a lack of time and energy to put into it. So there's nothing that I haven't done. And what I realized when I was out there getting all my diplomas and certificates in all of the things that I studied for all of those years, I did them because I did them so I could help other people. And I basically ignored myself. So what I realized a little late in the day when I was in my 30s was, what about me? You know, like it's time I did some work on me. So that's where, you know, everything else came in, where I did all of the work on myself. You know, I went to Esalen and did, you know, a couple of months of intense work over in America where they run workshops 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that was huge for me. It was just the beginning. And then, of course, rebirthing came along. And then when I still got really sick back in 1998, actually, so I was ill for 9 years and I was very close to death. like I was going to have surgery and the doctors would say to me when I'd have my blood test every week, oh, sorry, but we can't operate, my surgeon would say, because you'll die on the table. Mm-hmm. And so then I just asked. You know, I'm a firm believer that if we ask and we're really clear what our intention is, then the universe, or whatever you choose to call it, God, the universe, doesn't matter, will actually manifest that in front of you. And, you know, I've had three major Mack trucks in my life, so I've got very good at listening. You know, Robert Kiyosaki, who used to be the presenter of a seminar called Money in You, which I promoted for 9 years. Most of your listeners may have heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Well, I did that in 1985, and one of the things that he used to say was, you'll either get hit by a Mack truck or you'll get hit by a feather. And I've always been a Mack truck person.
Oh, you don't do anything by halves, do you, Diane?
No, I don't. But now I'm at a point where now I want feathers, right? But when I got hit in 1998 by this giant Mack truck, in fact, a friend of mine who's very intuitive said, that wasn't a Mack truck, that was a Mack truck and a roller, one of those huge big things that goes down the road.
Yeah.
You know, giant things. Like three of them hit me all at once. And so that's when I realized that, you know, I'd done all this stuff around what I eat, around what I use in my home, around, you know, clean everything, all organic, blah, blah, blah. But there was still stuff going on between my little ears that I hadn't shifted. So that's what led me to Lifeline. And so for me, it's just about continuing to learn. And I think from the time when, you know, when I had the big business with the board of directors and all that stuff that goes with business, it's like there's a few things that became really relevant to me. And one of them is your core values, you know. And for me, being in business, my core value is integrity. If something is out of integrity, I'm out of that business. Yeah. So I think we have to listen very carefully to those, to who we are, to what is important to us, to why we're even doing what we're doing. For me, I was doing it for other people. You know, what about me?
Yes.
And I just thought that, you know, that was why I was here, to save the world. And then I realized, you know what, the world doesn't need saving. I do.
Yeah.
And people need steps to be able to guide them into their future.
So you've spoken about a few key things that I want to touch on here, because one of the big things, and I mean, a lot of our listeners are women, they run their own businesses, many of them got families, all of this stuff, is, yeah, the what about me? Because most of them are putting all their energy into growing a successful business, having a great family, but they forget about themselves, and they're not realizing that if they're not actually looking after themselves, if they're not actually filling their own bucket, everything is going to suffer.
And absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, you've done all the hard yards for everybody, haven't you? You've done it all tough. But you've learned now what you need to do so everyone else doesn't need to go through that, because this is part of what you share, isn't it? It's like you can have a business, you can have a family, and you can have, be the best version of yourself. And this is what you do, is you show women and men how to do this.
That's true. And you know, one of the things I think is that I see it all the time, which is why I started promoting Money in You, you know, because I would see these fabulous women in the room. And they would come up to me, because Money in You was 68% games, and they'd come up to me and say, oh, you know, I knew what that game was about. And I'd say, why don't you go and tell the presenter? And they'd go, oh, you know, no, it's all right. And I thought, the problem, as I see it, and problems are portals, is that underlying everything, most women do not have true self-worth. You know, they smile and they say, you know, yeah, I'm doing well, but the goddess within is held in, well, it used to be held in every state of Australia except the Northern Territory, and you know, I still do it in Singapore, Malaysia, England, America, and I don't care what color your skin is, and I don't care what religion you are. we all have the same issues deep down, and that is that we think that we are not enough and we have to be more. So that's why we try and do our best to be superwoman. And, of course, it is not possible. I know women who work their own businesses and, like you said, they've got their families, but they still clean their own house on the weekend. Mm. You know, it's like, hello, there is somebody out there who would be desperate to have a job to clean your house. Mm. And then you can spend a little bit, you know, a couple of hours of quality time with your children, with your family, with on yourself, you know. And don't get me wrong, Angela, I think that, you know, we're all tarred with the same brush. And I think it's a consistent thing of working on ourselves on a daily basis. It's not something, you know, everyone makes these wonderful New Year resolutions and they say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I am no different, right? So every year, every New Year's Eve, my husband and I make out our New Year's resolutions, what we want for our relationship, what we want for ourselves, what we want for our business. And, you know, the funny thing is that up until a couple of years ago, what we would do is put those things in the drawer and then we pull them out on the following New Year's Eve. Well, you know, that's not really very useful. It's like, it's great to sit there and write it down, but unless you're consistently looking at your results. Mm. So now I do mind maps every Sunday night. I make myself a mind map so that I know what I'm doing for the next week. And part of that is, what am I going to do for me, you know? And so I mark out my diary. So I'll book myself a massage or a lifeline session or a, you know, colour puncture session or a whatever it is that I feel like, or going to the movie session with a girlfriend or going out and having breakfast. And, you know, the truth for me is I'm a workaholic. If you left me alone, I'm like a little mole, you know, those English creatures. Like, you know, I burrow myself. I get up in the morning, usually around 6, and I'm usually on, I have a shower, I brush my teeth, I do all those ablution things that people do, and then by 6:20 I'm sitting on the computer. And, you know, if the truth be known, some days I don't move. I'll say to my husband, can you please bring me my green smoothie? Or today we're having a bone broth day. So I'm really good at doing all that stuff. Bring me up a cup of bone broth, Robert. So up comes the bone broth. But is my body moving? No, it's not moving. So what I did was I bought myself a desk cycle. So now all I've right. got a cycle underneath my desk. So if I'm having a long day and I know it's going to be a long day, you know, I'll sit here and cycle while I'm chatting to people, while I'm listening to a webinar or whatever I'm doing. So I have really had to fight the urge to actually get out and do something physical, you know. So now I've got it's like brushing your teeth. I think it's one of those things that unless you do it regularly every day, it takes a few years. You know what kids are like. You'll say, brush your teeth today, and they'll go,
yes, Mum.
You know they haven't.
Yeah, that's right, because so the toothpaste lasts for 6 months and you go,
exactly. And I think we're the same. And I think that we need to be accountable to someone. I think that's a really good idea. And, you know, I love my mind map so I can tick it off and go, yeah, I did that this week. I actually went for a walk and I did a bit of yoga and I, you know, did this and I cycled every day. And yes, okay, I didn't do 20 kilometres a day, but who cares? I did something for moi. And I am the most important person in my life, because if I'm, you know that saying, happy wife, happy life?
That's right.
Well, happy person, happy world, you know, because it doesn't matter who you can converse with. If you're miserable, it shows.
So can I talk to you about masculine versus feminine energies? Because I know this is your stuff. Because particularly when we're running businesses, and you'll, you know, you said it, I'm a workaholic, which is a very masculine energy. And a lot of women who are running their businesses and or in corporate world, whatever, they're very much in a masculine energy. And what I see within societies is I see that there's way too much masculine energy going around. And not enough feminine. And I think that a lot of women don't know their feminine energy, or they've lost connection with it, because the only way that we view success in our society is by working hard and, you know, getting the monetary, getting the material stuff, that's success. Yet we're leaving behind the feminine side of us. And that, to me, is what's causing a lot of this imbalance and stress.
I could not agree more. I mean, you know, if we take it all the way back, it's like once upon a time we did live in a matriarchal world, and then patriarchy took over, and with that came the success and the and all of the things that you just spoke of. And what that did was it tipped the scales of balance and it created dysfunction. And that was 3,000 years ago, and we're still in a place of dysfunction. So the way I speak to women is we gave up the very things that make us women, which is we gave up our intuition. We know, you know, I mean, everyone knows, but women in particular are more tuned in to that intuition. And we know when, you know, we're offered a deal and we know that we're absolutely cooked and we cannot fit it in, but we think, oh, yeah, that's fantastic, we'll do it. So we say yes. And then we're just burning the candle again at both ends. So we give up the very things that make us, that bring that feminine energy back into us. And one of the reasons for that is because if we go back a few years, I mean, we still have a strong glass ceiling in Australia, right? I mean, pretty much. It's pretty strong here. And if we go back a few years, you could – literally, if you were strong and powerful, other women didn't like you because you came across as being, I mean, there's a phrase, that woman's got balls, you know, and it's heard throughout boardrooms everywhere. There's a woman with balls. It's like, well, great. So what happens if she moves away from that and gives up her, in inverted commas, power? Then she becomes powerless. So this is the woman who basically drops her bottom lip and goes, oh, I've got a puncture. Can you come and fix it for me? I've got my fingers down my throat as I'm saying that. Imagine if it was visual, you'd see it. So we haven't come to that midpoint yet where we can say, I understand the word power, because for most of us, power is the reflective masculine, which is the power over someone. You will do this my way or the highway. It's not the power to. And what I see with some of the powerful, amazing women that I know is that they are empowered themselves, but then they empower their team and their friends to be all that they can be by saying, okay, let's do this. As a collective, what are your ideas on it, you know, and bringing them up to a place where their people have the power to create just the same as they have. So it's not about having power over, it's the power to. And I really, really like that analogy. And it just kind of makes sense to me that that's where we need to move to. We need to move to the collective where we understand that each person has a gift. You know, and because I'm, I don't know if you know anything about astrology, but I have 8 fixed planets. So I'm very stubborn, you know, and very fixed. And I like it done my way, just the same as most other people do. But I've had some huge lessons in this lifetime around realizing that the people around me are around me because they really love the work that I do. So, for instance, at Goddess, I've got like 16 assistants and 12 of them are permanent, so they've been with me for anything up to 20 years, which is a very long time. So they volunteer their time, they volunteer their, you know, everything to be of service to the women coming through the course. Now, that's pretty amazing, you know. But the reason they do that is because I have empowered them by saying, okay, you know, how do you see, have you got a better way to do the handouts? And one woman said, well, I wondered when you'd ask. Yes, why don't you do it this way? So it's like after 17 years, Goddess has been going for 29 years, by the way, finally I go, oh, well, that makes sense. Why didn't I do it that way before?
So what would you say if you were to give any of our listeners three tips for them to be able to live their best life and, you know, still be able to run their business and to bring in their feminine energies to be the best version of themselves. What would you say the three most important things or the things that you could share with them right now would be?
Well, I would think the number one thing that I say to everyone is do the work on yourself. Because if you do the work via, you know, having lifeline sessions, doing workshops, you peel off a few more layers of those onions every single time you do it. And that makes you more whole because you start to find your authentic self. I mean, many women are out there searching for something that they have anyway all the time. It's just buried beneath layers and layers and layers and layers of onion. Just like the outer layer of the onion is really thick, you know, as we peel them off, so we come more into a place of ourselves. And when we come into that place of authenticity, then we make choices based on what's right for us, not what's right for other people. So that would be one thing, absolutely. I mean, I truly believe that we need to stop thinking that there's somewhere or something out there that is going to make us whole other than ourselves. There's nothing out there. You know, I have a great jigsaw puzzle on my Goddess Within brochure, and it's got families and sex and, you know, money and business and success and children and health and all of those things. But the whole thing revolves around the center key, which, of course, comes back to self-worth. So, you know, I could give you 100 things, but all of them in the end come down to give yourself some time, give yourself some space, and absolutely do the work on yourself so that you allow your true, authentic self to just shine forth.
I love that. And because when you're being your true self and you value yourself, everything will just fall into place, won't it? It's not hard work anymore. It just happens.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, we teach Tantra to couples. And, you know, the number of women that come along, this is really fascinating. You know, women say, oh, yes, I want more from my relationship. And so I talk a bit about Tantra and they go, yes, 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 that's what I want. And so they might book in and inevitably, and we've been teaching Tantra for 26 years this year, usually at every course, a couple will pull out. It's always the woman who rings, and she always has, in inverted commas, an excuse. And she'll say, oh, you know, John has to go away to work this weekend, that particular week, and so we just can't make it. And I've heard it so many times. And what I know is that there's a fear in women, a fear of surrendering. And women think, especially when we're talking sex, that they're going to surrender to themselves, but it isn't that they're going to surrender to someone else. But it's not about surrendering to anyone else. It's about surrendering to yourself. You know, I mean, we have the percentage of non-orgasmic women. Sorry, I've just changed the subject.
Yeah,
this is one of my passions. You know, it's one of my passions. It's like the number of non-orgasmic women out there is absolutely enormous. But my belief is every single woman on the planet is orgasmic. It's just a matter that most of them are so in control of themselves and their world and their life. And they're so afraid of surrendering to that authentic self that basically they finish up saying they're not orgasmic when in actual fact they're multi-orgasmic. How do I know that? Because every woman is.
So back to business, because that actually applies to business too, doesn't it? It's like because women are just... they want to be in control because they think that's the only way to be successful. And it all comes, once again, back to really trusting in your feminine power. And the power is that you don't have to be in control, so you don't have to have power over.
Yes.
It's just, as you say, surrendering. I love what you say. You're not surrendering to anyone else. You're surrendering to your true self. And when your true self comes out, everything just falls into place, whether or not it is business, relationships, families, whatever. It all just works because you value who you are and you've, yeah, it's just like it's hard to put the words into it. I can't speak it as well as you can. You live this stuff every single day, but you know, this is kind of this is a message that I think that we need to get out to women. It's like, you don't have to be in control, because that's a big thing I find with so many women when I work with them. They say, oh, I'm afraid of giving up control. And really, we don't have control anyway.
Of course we don't.
The only thing we do, there is no control, because tomorrow it might be raining and you want it to be sunny. There's actually no control.
No. I have a really great saying. In fact, I have a lot of sayings, but this is one I really like. The more vulnerable I am, the more invulnerable I actually am. Mm. It's a real conundrum, because we think that we can't, you know, we can't. How many of your listeners or you were told when you were a little kid, stay in control, you know, like, yep, don't be such a baby, and stop crying. What are you crying about? All that stuff. So we build up these walls and we hide behind them. And if we were to let them go, we would literally feel like we're going to fall to pieces. And I believe that falling to pieces is a really good thing now and then. You know, I think that we actually, in order to be the truth of who we are, I think we all have to go to that dark night of the soul place within us and then stand up and reclaim that we are enough. Just the way we are. But we're so busy hanging on for grim death, you know, and not finding pleasure in the little things of life, because, you know, then we get anxious and worried, and you've only got to look at the number of people on antidepressants. And, you know, I had a woman at Goddess once who was stunning. She was absolutely beautiful. We were in Singapore. She was a Caucasian blonde, probably in her 30s. And she said, oh, but, you know, I've been on antidepressants since I was 16. And I was like, that's 20 years. And I said, what would happen? Have you ever come off them? And she said, yes, once for 4 days, but I couldn't stop crying, so I went back on them. And you know what I think, Angela? I say to women at Goddess, you know what? What I would love to do is run a workshop where I just bring women in, put them on the floor, cover them up with a blanket, play some evocative music and have them cry for 2 days, you know, because they would come out of it. Their eyes might be puffy, but I tell you what, they would feel a whole lot different, because they would be free of the stuff that they're so busy holding on to.
Yeah,
and most people would say, oh, no, that's not me. You know, I mean, I said that myself. Years and years and years, I'm fine. And I don't know if you know, if your viewers, listeners know what fine stands for, but I'm not going to tell you what the F stands for. Freaked out, we'll say. And the next three letters are insecure, neurotic and emotional. And, you know, like, the way I see women is they are just magnificent beings, and we're all doing the best we can, and we just need to find a way to just surrender to that part of ourselves and to do the work on ourselves, so that what we're showing on the outside then becomes what is the truth of what's on the inside. Because all too often what we see in people on the outside is nothing like their real lives, you know. I'm actually doing I had an interesting conversation with a PR person a couple of weeks ago, and she said, well, Diane, why do people come to your courses? And I said, you know what? I have absolutely no idea. So after 29 years of doing Goddess, I wrote to everyone on my database and I said, I'd really love it if you'd just tell me in a few words, why did you come to Goddess? And, you know, I cried when I read the stories, when, you know, a few lines, like, I have two people in Adelaide whose daughters were both murdered, and they came to try to fill that hole within themselves, you know. And people come for all different reasons, just like they come to you for all different reasons. But on the outside, if you were to run into that woman, and even if you were probably a friend, you may not see all that they are going through. Because I say to women, so do you tell your girlfriends? And you know how many people say no because no one wants to listen? You know, I find that so sad. If you're my friend, I would be honored to hear your story. But I'm also known as a slap therapist, so I'll only listen to it a couple of times, and then it's like, well, move on, get over it. What are you going to do about it? Because so many people are caught in the drama.
Yeah.
They love the drama. It's what actually fuels the adrenaline, you know. Many years ago, and I'm going back a long way before the days of Money and You, I heard about a workshop with a woman who had just come out of a mystery school in Tibet. And my little antenna pricked up and I was like, yes, I have to go. And so I had no money and I was driving a 1964 Ford Falcon, but I manifested the $10,000 that I needed. And I remember my mother saying to me, and what are you going to do this time and how much is it going to cost? And I said, 10 grand. And she looked at me as though I was a complete alien. She said, you could buy a new car for $6,000, Diane. And I said, yeah, I could, but it wouldn't change my consciousness. So I went off and did this workshop with this. It was 4 weeks in Hawaii with this amazing woman. And she said, the reason that people get addicted to, and she didn't say reality TV, but I'm using those words. She said, the reason people are addicted to watching accidents, you know, when there's an accident, everybody crowds around, or to, in those days, Coronation Street or Home and Away or any of those, you know, soap opera things, Days of Our Lives it was in those days, is because it stops people looking at their own pain. Mm. And, you know, because most of us are in pain, we become addicts. So we either shop it out or we sex it out or we eat it out or we smoke it out or we drink it out. I mean, I'm staggered at the number of people who drink wine every day and think that that's normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, is that normal? The definition of alcoholism is drinking wine, having alcohol every day. It's like, but we're addicts and we don't know it.
Yeah,
so I think the addictions come from, again, a lack of self-worth. So let's come back to the one core issue that affects the whole world, men and women alike, and let's heal our souls so that our souls can be all that we came here to be, so we can shine, regardless of whether you want to shine as a businesswoman or a practitioner or a mom or whatever it is, or a dad. You know, I'm sure you have guys listen as well, don't you?
Yep.
Oh, well, you know, I've seen it all with men as well.
Okay, so I'm going to make a movie about you, Diane. Who's going to play you?
Oh, God.
Who do you want to play you in your life story?
My husband just said, who would want? That's not me. You know, somebody wild and crazy like Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand or, you know.
I could see Bette Midler doing it.
Yeah, me too.
With all the crazy hair.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, a lot of people, because we teach Tantra, people sometimes call us Mr. and Mrs. Fokker because, you know, in those days, in my early days, I had like long Barbara Streisand type hair, you know, and even my hairdresser says, hi, Mrs.
So where can people find out more about you? If they want, they're interested in finding out more about the work you do and your goddess workshops, where can they find out more about you?
I have a website. It's Beyond the Ordinary, one word. So www.beyondtheordinary.net.au. And I do great newsletters, so if you just want to get on my newsletter list, I'm really passionate about making a difference in a million areas. So I'm always, you know, putting in stuff that a lot of people don't get. Like I had, sorry, I'm going to stop. I had 5 minutes with a friend yesterday and she said, she had this list. Can you tell me who should I go to about MS? Who should I go to about Parkinson's? Where do I find out about this? Where do I? And she had like 6 or 7 things on her list. And she said, people always say to me, God, you must be a big reader, Joy. And she said, I said, no, I just ask the people who do read, mainly me. So, you know, I spent a lot of time researching. So if anyone wants my newsletter, I'd be delighted to send it to you. I don't pester people. I don't say, come and do this and here's this wonderful free offer. None of that. I just send a newsletter out. That's all. If you want to come play, you come play. If you don't, you just get to read. www.beyondtheordinary.net.au. There you go.
Good. So anyone who wants to find more out about Diane, and look, I highly recommend you do, because she's an absolutely fantastic goddess. She totally is. She's changed my life in the time I've known her. And I really want to thank you, Diane, for being on the show, because you've just shared so much today. And I'm hoping that all of our listeners really, even if they just got one thing out of what you said, because you've said so much, but if they just get one thing, it will make a difference to their lives. And this is what it's all about. So I really want to thank you for being here. And I want to thank all of our listeners for listening to us. And if you've got questions or you want to make comments, please pop over to the webpage, www.angelacouncil.com. You can leave your comments underneath this recording. Let us know what you think. What did you get from listening to Diane? Or go over to iTunes and you can subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to Diane and everybody else over there. Subscribe, get downloads every single week. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think about all these people who are sharing their journey with you and how much it's helping you. I really want to thank everybody for listening to us today. And until next week, when I'm back with someone else who's going to have a great story to share with you and some really great tips, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not pop over to my website, angelacouncil.com, and do your stress quiz to find out how stress is affecting you in your life. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.